Stop 4. Events on Monday began with a public meeting, called by town officials. Now, as then, numbers of people attending rallies are usually contested, but it is said that 12 to 15,000 people came onto the market square, where they were addressed by various speakers. The Mercury provides us with an interesting description of a part of that crowd.
The exhortations to peace and quietness had but little influence over an organised gang that were ripe for every mischief. This gang consisted of all the low and bad characters in the neighbourhood, the pickpockets who were exerting their talents during the fair, and the vile and worthless of every description who had come to the town under the hope of picking up some plunder at the races.
To the modern day activist, this sounds very familiar, and allows more conclusions about those describing than those described. Researching who the rioters really were, we found fragmentary evidence allowing some cautious conclusions. However, two main problems have to be mentioned. First, we only found information about persons charged with rioting, which does not mean that they really took part in the riots. But we think that these people adequately represent the real rioters. Secondly, we almost exclusively found information about men, although there is very strong evidence that women did fight in the reform riots. The most detailed information could be found out about those hanged after the riots. One of them was described in a broadsheet sold after the executions.
John Armstrong, aged 26, born at Pleasley, near Mansfield. His parents reside in Nottingham. His father is a framework knitter and brought up this son to the same trade. He is a single man, but was engaged to a young woman. The last 10 years of his life have been spent in Nottingham, though he has lived at other places when employment could not be obtained in the town.
The majority of the alleged rioters were in employment and worked, like Armstrong, in low-paid occupations. He was a framework knitter. Others were brickmakers or gathered rags. Although not being pickpockets, these working-class people would not have been counted among the respectable citizens. Few, if any of them, would have been eligible to vote, neither before nor after the so-called Great Reform Act, least of all the rioting women. This gives us an idea who those people were who, after the meeting had ended, attacked several houses and shops in town and badly damaged a corn mill on the forests. The Riot Act was read in many places, but the 75 men and horses under Thackwell's command were overstrained and could not control the rioters on that day. In the late afternoon, the rioters went an extra mile for a very tempting target, as described by the Mercury.
The mob, in a strong body, tore down the iron palisading with which they were speedily armed. They then proceeded towards Colwick Hall, the seat of John Musters, where a horrible scene of devastation ensued.
Musters was a magistrate, described as an arch Tory, who waged a vendetta equally against radicals and poachers, and a well-known opponent of reform. He was not at home at the time, so it was his son whose later statement was quoted at length in another local paper, the Nottingham Journal.
The mob commenced by taking up stones and breaking the windows. They got into the house, destroying everything they possibly could in the rooms they went into. The mob set fire to the house in the different rooms. The smoke was very great. The mob left about six, shouting, "Hurrah!"
John Hicklin, who wrote a book on the history of Nottingham Castle a few years later, provides us with a version of what happened after that crowd returned into town.
They were uttering yells of frantic glee, expressing the destructive intentions with which these misguided men had assembled. A cry, "To the castle!" soon announced the next object of attack.
And this is where we'd like you to go next. So go down to the southwestern corner of Market Square and walk up Friar Lane, crossing Maid Marian Way towards the castle. Stop in front of the castle gates.